Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 7. And this is one of the verses one of the passages that's set aside for this time of year. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Short prayer, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these ancient words, yet still, which speak into our lives and our hearts today. So we pray that we would be open to hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to grab the... You see in verse 2 there, it says, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. That feels quite true today, doesn't it? I'm unapologetically turning back to this passage. I preached on this, you probably don't remember it at all, but it was almost exactly 3 years ago today, and it was the 10th of January 2021. So for those of you that were watching, we were in lockdown, and it was on our Facebook feeds. So for those of you that are around then and watching that, you might remember some of it, you might not. But you probably do remember that time, because we were in the middle of a second COVID lockdown, a national one, and it felt even more bleak than the first, because this time was in January, and the kids hadn't gone back to school after Christmas, and there just didn't seem to be any end in sight. It was difficult to know when it was going to end. And people, again, had had to be separated from their families and friends and were living these lonely, fragmented lives. And the events around the world at that time were also quite frightening. I don't know if you remember, 6th of January 2021 was when there was that violent storming of the US Capitol building, which kind of rocked the world at the time. And it really felt like these words, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. It just felt so true. But actually, today, although we're thankfully not in lockdown, we can still feel the truth of this statement, because those wars going on, Ukraine, Gaza, they continue to wreak havoc, dominate our headlines, but also places like Sudan, and other places around the world where these things are still going on, but we perhaps don't hear about them. Daily we're seeing the effects of climate change, both in our own country and around the world. And the world's kind of torn apart by political polarisation, huge cultural, technological changes that we can't keep up with, we can't get our heads around. And closer to home we see people struggling with the cost of living. And then there's just so many people around us who have just turned away from God, really, or maybe never even knew him in the first place. And people worshipping false idols of power, money, success, celebrity, and the self. Darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But actually, that's just one tiny bit of this passage. And this week we're celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, as we're saying, and in many countries, this will be more important than Christmas. And just as we're putting our tree back in the shed and starting our January diets, other people are feasting this Feast of the Epiphany. And we've talked about the Magi for many, many years. I just thought, well, that's what it's about, that's all it is. And I didn't really think about it more than the story, you know. But actually, when I've really looked into it, it's about so much more than this. I don't know if you know what the word epiphany actually means. What is an epiphany?
Revelation.
Yeah, like a revelation. It's like a light bulb moment. You know, you see in cartoons sometimes when a little light bulb goes on over someone's head, ding, and they have a revelation. And suddenly things that had seemed hidden and mysterious are revealed in a flash, and light suddenly breaks into the darkness, revealing things, making things clear. It's like a eureka moment that illuminates the past and shines new hope into the future, a mystery being revealed. Now, over the last few months in our church, we have had a bit of a break over Advent, but we've been looking at the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks quite a lot about a mystery being revealed. And I don't know if you remember this, but we'll be going back to Ephesians in a couple of weeks' time, but this is what Paul says when he talks about the mystery. He says, the mystery is that through the gospel, that is the good news about Jesus coming as the Messiah and the Saviour, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Now, Gentiles is just another word for everyone who is not Jewish. So, the nations. That's us, all of us. Everyone. So, Epiphany, the revelation, the light bulb moment, the unveiling of this mystery, is actually all about this. It's all about this, the amazing news that God is not just a territorial God of one country, Israel, but he's also the God of the Gentiles, the nations, the God of Africans and Chinese people and Peruvians and Maoris and Koreans and Germans and Arabs and Welsh people and even English people. All of us. And that's why it's a day for a party. That's why people around the world will have a feast, because it's the day that celebrates that all of us, whatever our race or class or ethnicity or background, can be included in God's family. And like the Magi, they weren't Jewish. They were called, nevertheless, to worship Israel's Lord and Saviour, Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that makes a bit more sense out of this passage that we've been reading in Isaiah. You see, the people of Israel were always meant to be chosen for a purpose. If you read the Old Testament, they were meant to be a light to the nations. They were chosen not to exclude the surrounding nations, but to demonstrate to them what it looks like to walk with God, to live with God day by day in a relationship of mutual love and obedience and worship and blessing. And right back when God chose Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we read about Abraham, who's the father of the people of Israel. We read about him being chosen, not because he was better than anyone else, it was just pure grace that he was chosen. But God chose him that through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And he chose them to shine, to be a light in the darkness, to demonstrate God's love and character and glory to the surrounding nations. That's back in Genesis, when God calls Abraham. But of course, it all goes wrong. And if you read on through the Old Testament, it's all gone wrong. And at the time that our passage that we've read today in Isaiah was written, centuries later, but it's still about 600 years before the birth of Christ, things really have gone horribly wrong. And the people of Israel have failed in that calling, and they ended up being conquered, their land in ruins, their place of worship destroyed, and they were taken captive and deported to a foreign country, Babylon. And then even when they were allowed to come back to their land, it was a broken down mess, it was devastated, it was pitiful. So Isaiah 60, that we just read, is a prophetic poem spoken to a people who've lost their dignity, they've lost their security, they've lost their vocation, they've lost their sense of who they are in the world. And the prophet is summoning them back to their true calling to be a light to the nations, a blessing to the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden, if you remember those words of Jesus. And the prophet says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Just think how the thing must have felt to hear those words. And the poem is addressed to the ruined city of Jerusalem, as though she's like an oppressed and desolate woman who's lost her children. And the city of Jerusalem is here being used as a prophetic symbol for the whole nation of Israel. And it's giving them a vision of a better future in which she is renewed and restored and is a focal point for the worship of the nations. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Remember, this is 600 years before Christ. In this vision, people are coming from all over the world, bringing their treasures, coming to worship, flocking to God's light, which is pouring out of the city, coming to worship him, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense. Does that ring any bells? Coming to proclaim the praise of the Lord. And the prophet says, arise, shine, remember who you are. You're called to be a light to the nations, reflecting my light into the darkness which covers the earth like a shroud. As God's people in Wales today, perhaps we can identify with those people of Jerusalem who were so battered and broken. I quite often speak to Christians here in Wales who look back on the glory days of the Welsh Revival. They weren't actually alive then, but they still look back on them. And of course, they compare it to today, where we see church buildings closing everywhere and feels a bit like we're in exile and in ruins. And when we look around us, it does feel like darkness is covering the people, and so many people have turned away from God. But into that darkness, the prophet speaks to remind us too of who we are. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And as followers of Jesus, we can confidently say that, can't we? Our light has come. We've had a glimpse of that light. We were talking over Christmas about the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it, from John chapter 1. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Jesus, who's come into the world. And it's our calling to reflect that light. It's not a light that we produce ourselves. It's God's light that we reflect. It's like the sun and the moon. You know, the moon appears to give light, doesn't it? But actually, all of the light that the moon gives out is reflected from the sun. It's a bit like Moses. When Moses went into the tent of meeting to meet with God, he came out, and do you remember, his face is shining and radiant because it's reflecting the radiance of God. And it's the same for us. If we are spending time in God's presence, if we're praying, if we're gazing into God's word, meditating on the scriptures, If we're walking with God moment by moment, then our thoughts and actions and words begin to reflect God's glory, and we should shine more and more as we reflect Him. And of course, He sends His Holy Spirit, His personal presence, to live and dwell within us and to shine out through us. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, this wonderful verse, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." But back in Isaiah 60, the prophet Isaiah calls us to do one more thing with it. And that is simply to look. Verse 4. "Lift up your eyes and look around. Look about you." I feel like I spend quite a lot of time looking at the floor. I don't know about you. Looking down at my own toes, you know, and the things that are dragging me down towards the ground. He said, "Lift up your eyes and look around." And when they do this, God's going to give them eyes to see what He is doing. He's going to give them an imagination to see beyond the bleakness of their current circumstances. And He's going to give them a glimpse of an amazing, grace-filled vision. The desolate Jerusalem, whose children were gone, now sees them streaming in, sons and daughters coming from afar, crowds being carried and gathered in, and all nations coming and bringing their worship to God. And this is a vision of hope for a battered and broken people. I don't know, I felt a bit battered and broken. Maybe you do too. But this is a vision for us. Lift up your eyes and look around. I believe we too are being called to look up. Look up from in the midst of our place of brokenness and see what God is doing and what God will do. And some of this is about that great day at the end of time when Jesus will come and renew the heavens and the earth. And actually, in Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, this chapter is alluded to, there's echoes of it again. But actually, it's not just about that day. Some of it's also about right now and what God is doing and wants to do among us right now. Lift up our eyes and look around. Where do we see God's light breaking into the darkness? Where do we see the kingdom of God at work? And actually, as I speak to many of you, and when I hear about God and how He's at work in many of your lives, how He's been speaking to you as you read the scriptures, how He's been answering your prayers, how He's been sustaining you in the midst of really difficult situations, it makes my heart throb and swell with joy. See there in verse 5. But we need to look up. We need to look up and ask God to help us see, what are you doing? Where are you at work? Let's ask God for that prophetic imagination, the eyes of faith, to see what He's doing and what He will do. Let's arise. Let's stand up on our feet, remember who we are and who we're called to be. And let's shine, reflecting God's light into the darkness of a long winter, into the darkness of a world living without hope. And let's proclaim Christ. Let's proclaim the praise of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to heed that call today to arise and shine, for our light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And we can see the darkness. The darkness is obvious. But Lord, would you help us to look up Lift up our eyes and look about us and see what you're doing, because you are at work. You're at work everywhere I look. And I thank you so much for that, Lord. So I pray you would give us the eyes to see, give us the eyes of faith, give us a prophetic imagination to see where you are breaking through and to see what you want to do, not just what you're already doing, but what you want to do among us in this place, in our church, in our town, in our families, in our country, in our world. And so we ask that this year we might lift up our eyes, look about us, and shine the light that you've given. In Jesus' name, Amen.